Daniel chapter 3. Remember, the stories in the Old Testament were written for our learning and for our admonition. So God uses these stories and the principles and the directives and all of the counsel for our good. This is the story of the three Hebrew children. They are in Babylonian captivity to a heathen king. That is their situation politically. And they're living in that. Obviously, they're serving the king. Daniel's also involved in that. He was one of the counselors. But we read that the king, Nebuchadnezzar, and this is a lot of prophecy in here, but we won't get into that, but he builds an image, a golden image. And he wants everybody to worship that golden image. You're probably familiar with the story. But we'll just read a few verses. We'll start in verse 5, Daniel chapter 3. And verse 5, this is the instruction that is given to everybody. That at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. So whenever you hear the music, you fall down and you worship. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. That is the dilemma. If you worship, if you don't worship. We come to verse 11. I'll skip some of the story. It says, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are those three men. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Not a good meeting. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? You know, this is the second time they've been asked to do this. So the king must have found some value in their service in his kingdom. But it goes on and it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, the king had a but if not, if you don't worship. And they have one. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. The rest of the story goes, the king is full of fury. He commands that the furnaces be heated seven times what they normally are. Even the men that cast Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace were burned up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went in bound. They fell down, and the king says, didn't we only throw three in there? And he says, but there's four, and the fourth is like the Son of God. One old-time preacher from down south, he preaches this message. He says, they didn't bend, they didn't bow, and they didn't burn. And they came out, and the smell of smoke wasn't even on them because God delivered them. But I want to direct your attention to, they said, our God is able, but if not, we're still going to serve him. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, bless your word today. Thank you for your help, your strength, your comfort, your guidance, all that you do for us. I pray in every circumstance of life that our faith would be strong, that we would glorify you. Without faith, it's impossible to please you. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Thank you for that faith, Lord. And may you be glorified. May we be a light in this dark world. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Gil, right, he's a commentator, and he writes this. He said, if our God does not think fit to exert his power and deliver us, which we are well assured he is able to do, if it is not his will, we are content and we are resigned to it. That is trust and that is faith. This is what I'd like you to do, God, but if you choose not to do it, I trust you. I believe you do all things well. That is true faith. We find a statement in the text here that the three Hebrew children said, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. There was a consensus among them. There's strength in numbers. Amen? There's strength for good. There's strength for evil. But it was good to have two buddies, whoever you were in that group, that felt the same way. That gave strength. That's why it's good to come to church. Amen? Or good to be around Christians. They talk the same talk. They walk the same walk. Your spirit bears witness with their spirit. And you're both the children of God. So there's strength in that. Good company. Good people to be around. In Luke chapter 14, there is a parable that the Lord is telling. And he's saying there was a king and he made a feast. And he invited people to come to the feast. But there were three men that were of one consent. The Bible says they all with one consent began to make excuse. One said, I bought some property. I've got to go see it. Pretty smart. One said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I've got to go improve them. That's as dumb as the first guy. Amen. You don't buy something you haven't seen, right? We have a realtor in the church, right? Amen. And you don't buy oxen that you haven't proved. And then the other one said, I've married a wife and I cannot come. Don't follow a multitude to do evil. They with one consent began to make excuse. So there's power in those numbers for evil, not for good. It's good for an army because of the cause to have one consent, to work together to fight the same enemy. It's good for a family, for the cause of Christ, to have one consent against the enemy, not a divided home. It's good for a church to be like-minded, striving for the faith of the gospel. There's a lot that talks about one mind, one accord, one love. It's one body, and we work together. Amen? And that makes the church strong. Bob Jones Sr. said, do right until the stars fall, and one day they're going to fall. Do right until the stars fall. But no matter what God chooses to do, we are to do the right thing. You have in Joshua chapter 24, this is towards the end of the book of Joshua, and Joshua and the children of Israel have gone in to possess the land. They fought a lot of battles. But this is what Joshua says. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. There's lots of choices today, amen, on who we want to serve, how we want to honor God or dishonor God. And people make good choices and they make bad choices. But the deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's an exciting story. But before they were ever delivered, they didn't know they were going to be delivered. Their resolve was set before they ever were delivered. You have that same story in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, they think they're going to be put to death in the morning, but they're singing at midnight. Amen? And so you have those stories over and over and over in the Bible. In Esther chapter 4 and verse 16, Esther said this. She was supposed to go before the king, plead the cause of the Jews. They were about to be destroyed. But she said, if you're not called by the king, you could go in and you could be put to death. I mean, it was a big deal back then. And she made this statement. She says, well, I'm going to do the right thing, and if I perish, I perish. What a statement. I mean, it's easy to make those statements when we know everything's going to be okay. But when you don't know, there's a resolve before the deliverance. And of course, she was delivered. But what people are saying, if it works, good. If it doesn't work, that's okay too. We're just going to trust the Lord. Spurgeon writes this, "Should it happen that in the providence of God, you are a loser by conscience." In other words, your conscience, you're doing the right thing, but you lose something circumstantial or whatever out here, or something temporal. "You shall find that if the Lord pays you not back in the silver of earthly prosperity, he will discharge his promise in the gold of spiritual joy." You know, sometimes we try to define our spirituality by our circumstances in this age. And if you go back to the early church and you see what their focus was, they were preaching about the resurrection. They were amazed that Christ rose from the grave, and they were had the assurance of their salvation. And there was a lot of persecution back then, but the persecution blessed the church. It didn't hurt the church. It made them stronger. It made them more dedicated. They served the Lord. Even the martyrs, as you come through history, somebody said the blood of the martyrs is what grew the church. And all of those stories about that. There's a man by the name of Barnes, and he wrote this about our text. "The three Hebrew children had no doubt of his ability. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him." The Bible says that. "He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." There's a little chorus. He is able, he's able. I know God is able. I know he is able to carry me through. We believe that. I mean, at least that's what the scripture teaches. And so they believed that. They also believed that he would do what was best. It didn't look like going into a fiery furnace would be the best thing, but it made a great testimony. And Nebuchadnezzar said, "That's God right there. That's God." And it was all because of the trial that they went through. So he is able to do what is best for us in each case. "He doeth all things well. Shall not the God of all the earth do right?" I mean, the verses are endless there. We can trust God. Amen? And the third thing was, they were entirely willing to commit their lives to the Lord. Now, here we are in this day and age, and we got a lot of stuff going on, right? What would you do to change everything? Just think about it. Don't say anything, because you might get caught in your words. But what would you do in this circumstance right now? What are Christians supposed to do? You know? Well, I think what we ought to do is nuke them all. Nuke all the bad guys, right? Just nuke all the bad guys. Yeah, nuke them till they glow. And, you know, there's anger, there's malice, there's all of these things surfacing, you know, all of this battle. And, you know, Jesus was walking with a couple of the disciples one day, and they said, "Lord, why don't you bring down fire from heaven like Elijah did in the Old Testament?" And he says, "You know not what spirit ye are of," right? "I came not to condemn the world, but to save the world." I believe today that God knows exactly what's going on. Amen? God is in control of everything. This is a fallen world. Amen? But there is a purpose in these things, as was prayed. And sometimes it has to get dark before people see the light of the world. Amen? And just like our text, these three Hebrew children, "We're not going to bow down and serve you, O king. Our God is our God, and he's able to deliver us. But if not..." So they were willing to go through that trial, even at the risk of their life. But God did something in that. Amen? And man, that was a great, great, great testimony that took place. It's a matter of principle not to worship false gods. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. And so the directive was, fall down and worship this idol. We're not talking about wear a seatbelt. Amen. We're not talking about the speed limit. We're not talking about paying taxes. Jesus said, if you want to pay taxes, go fishing. At least that's what I got out of the text. Amen. I mean, you can make it say just about whatever. He said, go catch a fish and give that money. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I'm in trouble, so I'm going to move right on. Wearing a mask, doing this, doing that, that's not worshiping another god. Worship is an important thing. The attention was fixed on God here and not the result. These three Hebrew children wanted to honor the Lord. They didn't care what the result was. When Paul and Silas were beaten, put into the inner prison, they didn't complain about how they were treated. They sang a song. They're not in there griping and murmuring and complaining about what's going on. Why did they put us in here? This isn't fair, you know? They were singing praises to God. And I have that note in my Bible. Their spirit was freed before their bodies were ever freed. I mean, they had something because all that mattered to them was the cause of Christ. And because of that song, at midnight in the darkest hour, all the prisoners got saved. And not only the prisoners got saved, but the jailer got saved, the one who beat them. Now, if somebody beat you and put you in there, just leave them alone. Just, you know what I mean? You're not going to do anything. But no, they did the right thing. They were singing, they were praising God. And because of that testimony, they affected a lot of people. Amen? No complaining. The furnace will not affect their resolve. They believed God. Verse 19 again. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Anger is a tool, but anger is also a weapon. You can get around people, and we have used it, and it has been used on us. We are all in that boat, you know. You ever lose your temper? I'd like to lose it and never find it again. Amen. But you can lose your temper, and you use that anger as a weapon, as a tool, to whatever, for whatever reason. But this man had such power that he could cause life or death. And he heated this furnace 7 times hotter, but God used it. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 3, the finding pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts to see what testimony we have. Listen to the verses. 1 Peter 1, 7, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The trial of your faith, it's compared to a furnace, it's compared to a fire. Verse 25, he answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. If you'll count them, and you don't have to, you can take my word for it, but the 8 times in chapter 3, the word worship is used. 8 times. That's what the focus is about. Worship God, worship man. Worship God, worship idols, whatever you want to put in that column. How do we worship God? We just do what's right. Amen? And we do it in the right spirit. And we do it for the right reason, for His glory. The issue here is worship. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. If you'll remember, the devil tempted Eve when she saw that the tree was good for food, desired to make one wise, and pleasant to the eyes, she took of the fruit. In 1 John, the Bible tells us, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, it's of the world. Same 3 temptations. So, the first Adam fell. The second Adam, which the book of Romans calls our Savior, he came. He's the perfect man. He's the sinless man. He's the sinless sacrifice. He comes, and now he is going to be tested with the same 3 temptations for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Those are the categories. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith to him, unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. But the devil didn't finish the verse. There's more to that verse, and we're told not to add to or take away from the Bible. The devil can use the Bible, but he misapplies it. He changes it, right? I mean, he does that. The rest of the verse is to keep thee in all thy ways. That was Psalm 91:11. He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. It's all about worship. And it says, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. That was the focus. Here's the three same temptations. The second Adam, Jesus, was victorious over that. What a blessing. Matthew Henry said, the devil tempted Christ to despair of the Father's goodness, to distrust his Father's care concerning him. It is one of the wiles of Satan to take advantage of our outward condition, and those who are brought into straits have need to double their guard. Mark chapter 4, the disciples are in a boat. Jesus is asleep down in the boat, and there's a storm. And these are seasoned sailors. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Why? Because of the circumstances, because of the storm. And Jesus said, how is it that you have no faith? And he spoke a word, and he said, peace be still. And the sea was calm. Jesus will have his will. There is a test. There is a trial. There is a testimony. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 39, Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's about to be crucified. And it says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. If it be possible, you could do this, Father. But if not. Moody says about the three Hebrew children, they were not afraid to pass from the presence of the king of Babylon into the presence of the king of kings. They just wanted to do the will of God. Isn't that powerful? You ever think about that in this life? Psalm 95:6, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Satan said, fall down and worship me. But the Bible says we are to bow down and worship the Lord. The king of pride will be angry. He'll be intimidating. He'll use people. He'll use circumstances. He'll be in a rage. But we worship the Lord. John 4:23, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That is true worship. It says in Isaiah 24:15, wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires, in the fires. We worship God. We have a testimony in the trial, not just from the trial. God is good because when we're in the trial, we have an opportunity to show our faith, our trust, and the world has an opportunity to see the light that is burning brightly in our life. Oswald Chambers says, beware of worshiping Jesus as the Son of God and professing your faith in him as the Savior of the world while you evidence in your daily life that he is powerless to do anything inwardly in your life. If he doesn't answer the prayer, he will give us strength. Amen? But if not, Matthew 18:20, two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. I believe that, so I believe he's here. Amen? Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content with such things as you have. Psalm 138, verse 7. We're getting to the message pretty quick here, Lee. Psalm 138, 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. That is not changing circumstances. That is doing something in our heart. Revive us again, O Lord. And it goes on and it says, thou shalt stretch forth my hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. What a blessing that is. Thomas Watson said, in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. When the church seems to be upon the altar, her peace and liberty ready to be sacrificed, then the angel comes. Lots of stories about that. Church is going through some trials today. Amen? We usually run, what, around 2,000, right, real close to that? Amen? This is going out to radio land. Amen? And it looks like we only have about 1,800 here today. But, the church is going through a trial. But God's doing something. Amen? And it depends on how we respond to those around us. Boy. How about trust God? Sing a hymn. Sing praise to God. Amen? He knows what he's doing. Amen? The king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. As rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. It's such a blessing. His ways are past finding out. Explain, why is this going on? We don't know the answer to that. His ways are past finding out. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. In him, Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Who can know the mind of the Lord? What I do, Jesus said, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. You can't get it now. Amen? Well, why did God allow this plague? Why did this? Why did that? We're going to see once I get to the message. Amen? It's a test. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But we don't see. We have to trust. And that's the eye of faith. Our faith is so important. To be delivered in the fire is much better than being delivered from the fire. We know by experience that God is faithful and he will carry us through. There was a preacher friend of mine. He's with the Lord now. But I think I have this story right. But somebody came up to him once and said, I want to thank you for all you've been through so that you could preach and teach what you do. And, you know, there's book learning and there's life experience. Amen? And that's why that hoary head, that gray head that is righteous, not just age gives you wisdom, but righteous living in age. And you've been through something. Amen? And you can talk about it, and you can say, God will be there. God will give you strength. Isn't that what we do in the Scriptures? We read about Paul, and Paul said, you know, his grace was sufficient for me. And you go right down through all these imperfect people, did the wrong thing, then experienced God's mercy. He's a merciful God. Well, I've done so many things wrong. Just come to him. Amen? He'll make all things good. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In our text, in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, again, worship is mentioned 8 times. Worship is defined by Webster in his 1828 dictionary to adore, to honor, and to praise. In Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. So I am created for his pleasure. Amen? When we get saved, we're not our own. We're to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's. How do we do that? We do it through worship. We adore him. We honor him. We praise him. William Temple wrote, to worship is to quicken the conscience by the holiness of God, to feed the mind with the truth of God, to purge the imagination, by the beauty of God, to open the heart to the love of God, and to devote the will to the purpose of God. True worship. William Barclay. The true, the genuine worship is when man, through his spirit, attains to friendship and intimacy with God. True and genuine worship is not to come to a certain place. It's not to go through a certain ritual or liturgy. It's not even to bring certain gifts. True worship is when the spirit, the immortal and invisible part of man, speaks to and meets with God, who is immortal and invisible. We meet with God. Alexander McLaren, fruitful and acceptable worship begins before it begins. It's in the heart before it's ever out here. John Piper, worship is an inward feeling and an outward action that reflects the worth of God. I'm in prison at midnight. I'm going to sing to God. The king says, bow down and worship this image. Nope, can't do it. I'm just going to worship God. There's a task to be done, but if I do it, what are the consequences? I'm going to honor God. If I perish, I perish. True worship. Revelation 5:12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. We see worship as a heartfelt experience. It's worship. Amen? It's not dead, dry. It's worship because our heart is in it. We see worship as a vocal expression. When we sing a song, when we just thank Him. Make up a song in your car. Make up a song and sing to God. You know? Say, well, I do. Yeah, because I've seen you make up songs in church while we were singing. We see worship as a spiritual performance. It's not carnal, it's spiritual. And it is not dependent on earthly circumstances. It's dependent on an abundant life and eternal life. That's what worship is. Amen? Well, I'm praising God today because this is, look what He did for me. Well, what if He didn't do that for you? What if you were in a great trial of affliction like those Macedonian believers in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? A great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. Where did they get that? Isn't that a testimony? Amen? To go to work, to go to the neighbor, to go to your family, and just praise God for how good He is. Well, but you lost your job, but this happened, but that happened. Yeah, but God's good. Man, God is so good. And God has a purpose. Amen? That's real worship. That's an evidence of our faith. Here we are. Did I tell you 2 Corinthians? Chapter 4, verse 15. Okay, chapter 4, verse 15. Here we go. For all things are for your sakes. Remember in verse 1, Paul said, seeing we have received this ministry, we faint not, because it's going to be tough. It's going to be hard. There's going to be opposition. The devil and all his cohorts, anger, worship us, do this. No, we have to worship God. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound, that means contribute to or result in, that the thanksgiving of many may redound to the glory of God. Our thanksgiving, God's help in our life, it redounds, it shows the glory of God, it manifests the glory of God to this lost world. It goes on and says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, it's amazing if you read about how Paul suffered. You know, a night and day have I been in the deep, thrice was I beaten with rod, you know, and all of these different things, in danger and perils of my own countrymen and robbers and all of the things that he went through. He calls it a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In Romans 8, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Right now. But right now is what people want out of. Right now, God is good. Amen? He makes no mistakes. The trial is an opportunity. With Israel, it was to prove what was in their heart. And maybe that's part of it in this life, but I think our testimony is so important. That's the message from Daniel chapter 3. Our God is able, but if not, we're just going to serve our God. And boy, God really showed some powerful things there. The things which are seen and the things which are not seen. You don't have to turn to all these verses. I just want to read a few verses in Habakkuk chapter 3. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, there shall be no herd in the stalls, the stock markets shall crash. Oh, I better stop there. Amen. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Isn't that an amazing text? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Spiritual joy. All this is going on. But see, we have a hope that's both steadfast and sure. And we have a God that is able to sustain us and help us and give us strength. Turn your Bibles to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. The whole issue is worship. It's the whole issue. The devil wants to ruin our spirits. He can do that by circumstances. He can do that by criticisms. He can do that by all kinds of things. He wants to ruin our spirit. And when we don't know what spirit we are of, the wrong thing comes out. Amen? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to sing in the Spirit. We want to pray in the Spirit. That's how we live. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But the devil doesn't want us to do that. You have in Job chapter 1, God is bragging about Job. And so Satan, verse 9, I think. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Does Job only serve you? Does Job only praise you? Does Job only pray to you? Because look at how you've blessed him. If you remove that blessing, he will curse you to your face. And the Lord gave the devil permission to do that. You say, yeah, I think the Lord just gave the devil permission to do something in my life. But if he did, if you're faithful, the end of Job was better than the beginning. And I'm not talking about substance. We go to the book of Job and we read that, and it has been a blessing to believers since it was written. Amen? There is a great, great testimony and a great, great lesson here. Four times, a messenger comes. This is something bad that's happened. Another messenger, while he was yet speaking, another one comes. Another one comes, your herds are all gone. Another one comes four times. And the Bible says, verse 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. And worshiped. Whew. That's a real story. That's a true story. That man really lived. It happened to him just like it says. And he worshiped. and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then the trials keep coming. Now his health goes. Now even his wife said, verse 9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity?" This is in chapter 2, verse 9. "Curse God and die." That's what the devil said he would do. Curse, he curse you to your face. Sometimes there are those that influence us to do the wrong things. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall not we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips?" Then he lost his friends. I mean, and you go right through it. But he worshiped. Amen? He worshiped, no matter what the consequences were. Hebrews chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this. Hebrews chapter 11 is the Christian's Hall of Faith chapter. And you read about David, and you read about Abraham, and you read about Moses and all of these great Christians and how God delivered them. Even the three Hebrew children are in here because they were delivered from the fire. But you come all the way down to verse 35. Well, I'll read verse 34. "Quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, wax valiant in the fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens." Man, that's how I want to go out. Amen? I want to be victorious. I want to pray and see it happen. I want a lot of stuff. Man, I better stop. But, I mean, deliverance. Don't we all want to be delivered? You know, we just want it. We want the best thing to happen to us. Women receive their dead, raised to life again. What a miracle. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, of whom the world was not worthy. And yet they had great faith. I've mentioned the Moravian believers who sold themselves as slaves to work down in the mines so that they could witness to somebody. That's a true historical fact. And they were condemned to a life in the mines until they died of disease. But they got to witness to somebody that they never would have been able to witness to. And you read about the martyrs. I had a couple things to read. I don't think I'll read them today, but the martyrs who sang on the way to the stake, and they were burned alive, and they sang and sang and sang as they could till maybe the pain or whatever silenced them. Worship. We're in a situation, you say, oh, it's so terrible, and what's a government going to do, and are we going to be in socialistic nation, or are we going to communism? Is the Lord coming back? The Lord's coming back. And if you connect the dots with what governments are trying to do, and you go to the book of Revelation, you'll say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen? We don't want him to stop coming. We want him to come. And there is a timeline to all of this. All of it. We don't understand it all because who knows the mind of the Lord? And no man knows the day or the hour. But we know he's coming. Amen? And evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. In the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And perilous times shall come. And all of the verses, those are going to take place. Well, this is what I want to happen. God is wiser than we are. This is what I hope. Well, you can hope that and do the right thing. Amen. I'm going to vote for, I believe, righteousness and the right thing. But no matter what, I've got to honor God. I've got to worship God. I've got to praise God. I have to live a life that when somebody sees that life, they're going to say, he's a believer. And look at his countenance. Look at his spirit. Maybe God could do that for me. Because when that person who is tormented by fear and anguish that God didn't give him, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When they close the door at night in their house, they've got to live with themselves. And if they had God to help them, wouldn't that be a blessing? And we can tell people how God can help them. Share your faith. Share your faith. Our God is able, but if not, here's a good verse. Offer unto him the sacrifice of praise. Sometimes it's a sacrifice to praise him, but we can praise him. Psalm 95:6. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, for the joy set before him. There are things that are very unpleasant to go through right now, but for the joy set before us. And maybe we can win one more, two more, 10 more, 100 more. Amen? Say, well, what's going to happen to the churches? Well, there's some difficult stories out there. There's some difficult stories here. We're going to serve the Lord. Amen? We come together. We will sing. We will praise. We will open the scriptures. We'll worship, we'll love one another, we'll honor God, amen? And we'll be a testimony in this place and to our friends and our family and our fellow workers for the glory of God. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, we trust you. We love you. We're grateful for all you've done for us. And I pray there'd be no complaining in the streets, as the Bible says, that there would be no murmuring, that we would count it a privilege even to suffer for you. You said, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him glorify God on this behalf. May we not suffer as evildoers, liars, breakers of the law. But if we suffer as a Christian, persecution, belittlement, criticism, may we take it patiently and commit ourselves to you, that you might receive the glory from that. We worship you, God. We trust you, and we ask for your blessing in our hearts, in our spirits, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's